Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. In this episode of the podcast, I'm very pleased to welcome Sven Sturman, president of the EU IPO Boards of Appeal. And I'm also delighted to be joined by Jana Bogatz of D. Young & Co. in Munich, who is co-vice chair of the Marx European Trademark Law and Practice team. Sven joined EU IPO in January 2004 and has held various positions at the office. From 2017 to 2024, he chaired the second Board of Appeal, and he's been president of the Boards of Appeal since the 1st of December 2024. He's also an accredited mediator and has played a key role in the development of the EU IPO Mediation Centre. Jana is an IP lawyer specialising in trademark design, copyright and unfair competition law, both in Germany and internationally. She's also a contributor to a trademark law commentary. In this podcast, she'll tell us a bit more about the work of the Marx European Trademark Law and Practice team, and she may also take the opportunity to ask a few questions herself. Welcome, Sven and Jana.
Hello, James.
Hi, good to be here.
Yes, indeed, and great pleasure, and thank you very much for Marx to allow this podcast and these discussions together with Jana. It's a great pleasure, and of course with you, James.
This is the first of two episodes of this podcast that we're talking to with Sven and Jana. And today we're going to be focusing on the role of the Grand Board and the Boards of Appeal in general. But before we get into all that, maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your role as president of the Board of Appeal at the EUIPO, what it involves and what it is you do in that role.
Yeah, I mean, this is indeed a good question. And I have to say that, as you know, I've been at the Board of Appeal a couple of years already, and I started there in different position. And before I became the president of the board, I was the chairperson of one of the boards, and I worked very closely with the previous presidents. And I have to say, I enjoyed a lot. It's a lot of interesting things to do. And I mean, I would say that one of the main responsibilities and role of the president of my role is, of course, to ensure that the Boards of Appeal continue delivering independent and, in particular, high quality decision that users can trust. I think this is one of the main responsibilities. And then, of course, beyond this day-to-day functioning, and there's also an important strategic part of my role, and also to ensure the future development of the boards, to prepare them for the future. And that is the reason why we have, at the beginning of the year, launched our new second Action Plan 2030 of the Boards of Appeal, where we define our future vision and also, let's say, the key actions, how to implement that vision.
And for those people that don't know, there are, is it right, five Boards of Appeal at EUIPO?
Yes, we have five boards. You know that the first, second, fourth and fifth board, they exclusively deal with trademark related appeals, and the third board is our design board. And then, of course, we have the Grand Board, which plays a very important role. But I think we will come back to it a little bit later.
Yes, yeah, we should definitely talk about the Grand Board in a moment. Before we do, though, I just want to reflect, because we're recording this just at the end of May. I think you've just held the sixth IP case law conference in Alicante and online. Can you tell us a little bit about how it went and what were the key kind of takeaways from the conference?
Yes, with great pleasure. It was indeed a very interesting conference, and I really would like to thank everybody who participated, and I would really like to particular say thank you to Marx, I mean to the Marx management, because you know Claudia Pappas, the chair of the Marx Council, she was one of our speakers in the AI session, but also you know that Alessandra Romeo, she promoted Marx and our conference in Marx, and also to you, James, because you were present and you reported on the conferences. I mean, I think it was a success. We had more than 1,600 participants, 450 on site, the rest online. Judges, practitioners, students, academy, representatives from national offices, international offices. There were representatives from the TM5 Boards of Appeal. So I think, a very interesting conference. And the theme of this year's conference was growing through change. And I think it reflects a little bit the broader reality, no? Because there's change is not now occasional. It's really, really constant. And of course, we touched upon many different topics, weak marks, subcategories, and many other topics. So I think it was a success, and I'm very happy.
And I would recommend anyone who hasn't already seen your sort of closing remarks to have a look at those, because I think you had some sort of personal reflections, I should say, not necessarily official reflections, on some of the takeaways from some of the sessions. And in a few of those, you sort of suggested that perhaps some sort of legislative action might be needed. I mean, do you think that is something that is likely to happen in the future or in the near future?
Well, that you need to ask the legislator, no? Because I think I have made a couple of ideas, and then they're very important ideas. I think what is very nice, we see that in particular in trademark design, there is, of course, a lot of settled case law, but there are also a lot of areas where we need to further, let's say, fine-tune the case law, and where we specifically need the legislator. I just remember, I mean, this discussion we had on the personality rights, no? I mean, now we have the tendency that parties or applicants file for faces, for the photographic image of a face, voices, maybe in the future even movements of persons. So how do we protect this? Aren't these really trademarks, or are these other rights, and do we need the legislator to have a look at them? And also with work titles, I mean, this is another hot topic to see, okay, there is probably need for, let's say, protection of work titles, but is this really trademarks? We will see.
So I'll just let you take a breath there, Sven, and turn to Jana for a quick question to you, Jana. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the Marks European Trademark Law and Practice team and the kind of way you interact with EUIPO in particular?
Of course, James. So we are a very large team. So we have 35 team members, and the majority of them are actually involved in one or some even in more projects with the EUIPO. So we currently have about 30 projects going on in parallel. So that's really quite a bit of work, but it's a lot of fun because the EUIPO gives us the opportunity to be really involved with super interesting topics and projects. For instance, we are represented in three of the convergence programs at the moment. So this is where we work together with the EUIPO and also the national offices and representatives of other user associations to shape the future EU trademark law on like some topics. So it's all about harmonization of special topics. But we also participate in like other so-called virtual communities. And this is then, some of them are about legal topics, others are more about, let's say, EUIPN tools, about technical things, like database questions, but also about emerging technologies, use of AI. So it's fantastic to be involved and have a say and to represent the trademark owners, brand owners' perspective and interests there. And then, of course, last but not least, we also annually check the guidelines and give our comments and feedback, and also, of course, the Board of Appeal rules. And we also participate in a number of customer panels. These are smaller projects, just one-offs, but nevertheless important. And yeah, as you can tell, this is only how our team is involved with the EUIPO. But then, of course, we should not forget there are also members from the designs team, from the GI team, from the anti-counterfeiting team, and I hope I have not forgotten anyone.
No, possibly the Amicus Curiae team as well. I think they look at some issues, don't they?
Yeah, so we are very grateful that we can all participate and really give like an outsider's brand owner's perspective to the EUIPO on these topics.
I mean, if you allow me, I mean, this is really, I would like to reinforce what Jana has said. I think this is a very important relationship we have between the let's say the EUIPO, not only the boards, of course, the whole EUIPO, including the boards and all the user associations, and of course Marks. I think this is what you said is very important. It's a win-win for both sides, and we really can learn from each other, and it's very important for us to get this input from the users. I mean, this is since many, many years, it's one of the main and most important stakeholders we have are the user associations. So I think this is a very special relationship. And I'm also very pleased to see how well it works and the input we get now for the board's appeal through the user focus group meetings where everybody's represented and, of course, Marx. It's extremely, extremely important and very useful for our daily work.
Yes, and I think even as we speak, I think people from Marx are attending events organized by EUIPO and working on the EUIPO projects. So, yeah, I'm sure this work has been going on for a long time and will continue as well for a long time. Good. So, Sven, you mentioned already the Grand Board. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I know there have been some recent decisions. I think there are some interesting pending cases as well. Can you tell us a bit about how you see the role of the Grand Board and also any changes that you expect in the future?
Yeah. I mean, as I said before, the Grand Board plays a crucial role in our efforts to strive for a higher degree of consistency, predictability, and legal certainty. And why is it? Why is it that the Grand Board that is so important? Because the decisions of the Grand Boards are binding to the individual boards and to the first instance. So if, for example, the Grand Board takes a decision which will go against the guidelines, the office would do a fast-track change. And actually, in the past, they have done it already. So that's very important. So it's a very relevant, very useful mechanism in the EUIPO to let's say, to get a higher degree of consistency. And then, of course, and also what is very important is that we have the possibility to get the feedback from the user associations. I think this is, we only have this in the Grand Board cases. It's very relevant. And I'm very pleased to see now that all the user, or let's say the most important, the vast majority of user associations file their observations before the Grand Board, obviously including Marx. And just to let you know that for us, it is very, very relevant to get this input. And even if you, in a specific area, might not agree, let's say, all together on one specific approach for this specific case, it doesn't matter. Because you could even come and say, look, we are an user association with different types of interest here. For us, it's important just to get the information. We want to take an informed decision, and then we want to see the views of all the user associations. There can be even different views within one user association. I think this is very, very important. And it also allows you to influence and to shape the case law of the grand board. Well, recently we have notified some interesting decision. The latest one is the Animal Farm 1984 cases. It's about the question, can these book titles, can they be registered as trademarks? We said no, because we said that we describe the subject matter. Let's see now, because they are very fresh decisions, if they will be appealed before the General Court. And then in end of 2025, we notified the George Orwell case, another important case. It's about the questions, can names of authors be registered as trademarks? We said again here, no, it can't. But the reason is important. We didn't say, okay, it's just only the subject matter. But why? Because George Orwell has become a very famous author in the European Union, everybody knows. And we have set up some interesting criteria to analyze when a person becomes famous, and then at this moment there is a risk or there's a possibility that the relative or the goods applied for and services applied for and that this name can describe the subject matter of these goods. And then there's a last case that was notified a couple of weeks ago, the SCCS case. This is about the question if a GI is registered as a collective mark, where the applicant is the association officially representing all PDO producers. So all of these cases, I think, are quite recent and very important for the Grand Board.
Are there any changes coming to the Grand Board?
Yeah. For the changes, I mean, I would like to open up the possibilities to allow more stakeholders to submit their observations. We have seen that in some of the cases, national offices have already submitted their observations and also university. So that shows that our Grand Board cases trigger a lot of interest. And again, the basic idea is just to that we as the Grand Board get as much information as possible from the different stakeholders in the European Union. So I think it would be interesting to discuss in a future legislative reform to systematically allow all interested parties, including national offices and universities, to submit their observations before the Grand Board cases, just because now they do it, but it's not foreseen in the regulation. So I think it would be good to add them, let's say, to those who are already mentioned. And again, that would allow us to have even more information, and then we can take the decisions.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. That sounds like something to watch, definitely. Jana, shall I hand over to you? Have you got some questions for Sven?
Yeah, of course. So you already touched upon a bit like the role that user associations play with the boards when you spoke about amicus briefs that associations like Marks are submitting to the grand board cases. But what else would you like us to do, or what further role can we as user associations play, and what can we do to improve the overall quality, so to say?
Yeah, thank you, Jana. I mean, as I said before, no, I think the user association play a central role in the system, and they're giving us a lot of input on different levels to our daily work. They help us to improve the quality of our decisions and of the work we do in general. But I think there is more we can do, and you know that we discussed recently at the last user focus group meeting to initiate a project together with the user associations in the area of the feedback of boards of appeal decision, because you know that the user association for some time already participated in the office squab, this audit of decisions of the first instance. And I think it's now time also, let's say, to allow the user associations to give us feedback to our decision in the second instance, because the feedback you give in these meetings we have very, very important, and they allow us to take, let's say, a picture of where we are, and also to see where we want to go in the future. How should our decision look like? Where should we improve the quality? Again, the quality of the decisions of the boards, I think, is pretty good. We have a more than 85% confirmation rate, but it goes beyond. No? So I think this is a nice project, the so-called FEED project, where we will invite you, let's say, next year to come to Alicante, discuss our decision, and give us more feedback on how we can improve our decisions.
I think this is a very good initiative. Having participated myself in some of the squab audits for the first instance decisions in the past, I always found them like super helpful, and it just increases the mutual understanding, and not only like giving feedback on like the subject matter of a particular decision, but also understanding a bit more the rationale behind why the office or the examiners have been taking a particular decision, and so on and so forth. And I agree with you that the quality of the Board of Appeal decisions is already quite high, but then I just imagine that as you say, it just goes beyond, and we understand more where you are coming from, and you might understand more where we are coming from, and then, well, we can both work together.
Absolutely. And I mean, at the end, if you know me, Jana, very briefly, and also the decision, I mean, at the end, they're directed at you or the users, no? So I think it's very important to see where you think that we could, let's say, fine-tune a little bit the quality of the decisions. Yeah? And then there is another aspect, I mean, you know, that we will have in July the tripartite meeting together with the user associations, the general court, so the vice president of the general court with some judges will be there, and the boards of appeal members. I think this is another area where it shows that there is a very important dialogue on substantive matter between the user associations and us, and in this case also the general court.
No, absolutely. Another question that I have is, you are producing quite a lot of case law reports recently, so compared to a few years ago. How do you actually choose the topics? Is that, are you looking at cases that you see and where you think there are there's not like a red line, where there are discrepancies, or how do you prioritize them?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, so we try a little bit to anticipate the developments in the future and in the area of trademarks, and of course also designs. And one of the important, let's say, the mechanism we have internally is we have introduced a so-called case analysis tracking system. So we are mapping all our decisions systematically to identify consistencies, inconsistencies, and also to identify areas where we think that we would all benefit from a case law research report. So in this mapping exercise, and you know that we take more or less 2,500 decisions every year. So all these decisions are checked by a group of colleagues, and to again identify, it's a mapping exercise, no? And we make this, and we draft on this basis, we draft regular reports. They are for the time being internally, but we want to make them also available for the users in the future. And there we can get a lot, we get a lot of information of areas where we think, okay, I think it would be helpful to do here in a case law, a new case law research report, but also to update existing ones. I think this is also very important, because you know that you said it before, we have a lot, but it's very important that we also see, okay, which ones do we need to update to make sure that they always, let's say, reflect the newest developments. But I would also like you, Jana, to invite the user associations to let us know if there are any, let's say, areas where you say, look, this would be helpful, interesting for the boards, or let's say for all of us to draw up this type of case law research approach. So we are very happy also to hear ideas from the user associations.
That's very good to know, and I will definitely make a note, because also from a user perspective, I mean, these reports are just incredibly helpful if you want to get a feeling of what is like actually the case law saying on a particular topic. We may not always agree with what is in there, but it's then on us to find the right cases to change the case law.
But if you know, Jana, this is the same for us. I mean, you said sometimes we don't agree, but it's even internally, because it's very important. I mean, as you said it rightly, and I just want to emphasize that these are just pieces of information. They are not binding, of course, not for you, and neither for us at the office and the boards of appeal. But as you said, no, with let's say reflecting on them, applying them, using them, that we can also then see how they need to be at a later stage, maybe updated or even changed.
Yeah, which brings me smoothly to my next question. How do you think the role of the Court of Justice is changing, and then by definition also your role, now that that the Court of Justice is only accepting so few cases on like trademark and registered designs?
That's another very good question, and I think that the Court of Justice still plays a very important role. I agree with the Court of Justice that they changed in 2019 their own rules and introduced this filter, this admission of the further appeal. I think it was a good idea, because you know that in the old days, I think it was rather too simply to go to the Court of Justice. And then there were many judgments where they were not really, really necessary. But okay, now we have gone to another extreme, and that's why I'm very happy that a judge from the Court of Justice participated to our IP case law conference in May, and she explained the requirements and reminded everyone about the requirements you have to meet in order to get this type of request for further appeal admitted. And as you correctly said, the numbers are as they are. So we have 280 requests for the time being. Only 8 have been admitted out of the 85 from the EU IPO Boards of Appeal Litigation Service. But it's also true, and you know, that many of the judgments of the Court of Justice, they actually gave very important guidance. So it shows that we need them. So I think it's very important that in particular also the users, the practitioners, carefully check and try to make their request for further appeal admissible. And that's one point. And the second point, it also shows that we need to have a closer cooperation with the national courts. Why? Because you perfectly know the national courts have the possibility to always submit a preliminary ruling to the Court of Justice, and I think we need to make more use of it. And I can tell you that we have already launched another project in this area. We have our so-called IP judges community. So we meet every 2 years with all the judges from all the member states, from all instances in Alicante. And now we have kicked off a working group preliminary ruling. So this working group will sit together, and there are judges represented again from all the member states. And we will sit together to identify together areas where we think that the Court of Justice should take a stand. And once we have this list, then it could be either us through the normal route we have, which is rather difficult, or we ask the national judges to check if they have cases to go through the preliminary ruling process. And here, again, I would also, again, like to invite the user associations to participate actively and also letting us know if you think there are specific legal area, especially in trademarks, design and geographical indications, where we should try to go to the Court of Justice. And because, again, we are working this together. I will mention this in one of the next user focus group meetings. But please, if you have ideas and areas where you strongly believe that the Court of Justice should take a stand, let us know and we will add this to our list we will establish with the national judges.
That's super interesting and good to know. I mean, no doubt that we are like rowing into the same direction, working together here. And of course, the burden is also on us quite a bit to find the right cases that we also bring to the national judges, because if they don't have the cases, they can't move them up. But yeah, all noted.
Thanks, Jana, for those questions. And thank you, Sven, for the very interesting answers as well. So at that point, we're going to conclude this episode of the Talking Marks podcast. But do look out for our next episode, in which we'll continue this discussion with Jana and Sven and look at topics including mediation, the Marks Annual Conference, and the role of artificial intelligence. So do look out for that next episode, and please do join us for that. And in the meantime, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you to Jana and Sven.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Jana.
Thanks, both.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.